So I remember at the end of the last season, you know, it sounded like you were, you know, there was a, you were thinking about retiring and all that, decided to come back. Just talk about, you know, making that decision and going in full force for the next year.
Well, you know, I'm not one to try to make a decision too fast. At the time, I was very disappointed. The season didn't end up how I wanted it or how anyone else wanted it. And so there's probably a lot of frustration. I knew I was going to go back and take my time and make a decision. And that's what I did. I waited around. My body started to heal a little bit, and I feel pretty good now. I've been working out actually out there in California. Came back from my physical and did a little workout here today with the guys, and it feels good to be back.
What do you think, you know, knowing that, you know, you, whether you're here for another year or several more years, it's not like you're going to be here for 10 or 15 years, and they've got a lot of other interior, young interior offensive linemen. Is a lot of your role in the offseason and even during the season kind of bringing some of those guys along so that they can, you know, maybe eventually fill your shoes?
Well, yeah, I am a lot closer to the end than the beginning of my career. That's something I know. I think everyone knows. That's not a secret. And I'm here, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do what I usually do. And if some of the younger guys look at me and say, hey, he's still working hard, I mean, hopefully I can inspire him that way. I'm not going to go try to tell people what to do. I don't think that's a very good thing. But it's all about the team. You know, however I can help this team, that's what I'm going to do. And whatever they tell me to do, it's done.
So this is your first week in the program then?
Yes, I've been training out there, and I got back to town on Tuesday morning, and I came in here, had a physical, worked out today, and like I said, it's good to be back and be out here with all these guys.
How's the thing out there going with Bakersfield Wrestling and all that?
We're still fighting. We have a big fundraiser on the 15th of May out there in California, mm-hmm. and this thing has been growing so fast. Everyone's really rallied behind us, and the big thing is I'm not trying to save this for me. I'm not trying to save it for my coach. I'm trying to save it for the kids. You know, I mean, the kids that are wrestling, my kids, your kid, whoever's kids want that opportunity. It's not only wrestling, but it's men's and women's golf and women's tennis. You know, mm-hmm. and at some point, the kids in the community are going to want to be able to have the opportunity. And I got to do everything I can to make sure the opportunity is still available for them.
Well, I know you talked about in March when we had you on the conference call right after you re-signed. What kind of progress has been made since
we have raised a ton of money? We've got the whole community of Bakersfield is pretty fired up about it. We're reaching out to Fresno. Kevin Harvick, he's a NASCAR racer from Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. He sent in one of his racing jackets, and he'd be at the dinner if he could, but he's got racing to do. David Carr, he's going to come down there. He's from Bakersfield also. He's playing with San Francisco now. He's going to come and help out. Lorenzo Neal, he has a prior commitment, but he's on board to help however he can. And so we just have a lot of people who are stepping up and really wanting to keep these opportunities for the young kids of the community.
Are you working against any kind of deadline there? So do you have to have, like, a certain amount of money by a certain time? How is that working?
Well, they told us back in February, $1.4 million by May 21st. So the wrestling team alone has raised $500,000 already.
Okay.
And the reason why that number is it's the 2 years for each sport, all four sports. And so I'm not sure what the golf and tennis programs. I know they've raised some money too. So after this dinner, we're going to see where we're at, and then hopefully the president comes to us and works with us.
And how long will that money keep that program alive?
It's a two-year thing. The reason why we're in the problem is California's budget is so screwed up, and they're only paying a certain amount to the university for the students. Instead of paying for the 7,000 students they have, they're only paying for 5,000. So there's the fee referendums are what keeps the athletic programs alive, and so you're not. They're capping the students so that they can keep a higher education going, so they have enough teachers for all the students, and that people aren't waiting around and that situation. So we're missing out on the fee referendums, and hopefully when the state gets their act together in the next couple of years, we're not going to have those problems. That's the hope.
Are you aware that there's a new wrestler in town here?
Yes, I am.
You know of him?
I do. I've talked to John on the phone, and he's a great kid. And if he's a wrestler, he's a hard worker. And you love having that around, and that gets contagious, and people work harder and harder, and that's a great thing.
What kind of advice have you given him, or would you give him?
You know, I said, hey, man, just come out here and try to learn as much as you can. Just do what they tell you, because as far as for me, everybody knows a lot more about football than I did when I first came here. So I just kept my mouth shut and tried to do exactly what they told me to do and work hard. You know, they can see hard work. Even if you have bad technique, they can see you working hard.
Do you in a way wish that you had someone like, I guess it sounds weird, you had someone like you back when you were starting out?
I'm not sure. I had a bunch of great guys. Mike Vrabel kind of took me under his wing. I was out there in Columbus with him, and mm-hmm. we were working out, and he's trying to tell me stuff, and I'm okay, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. You know, and so there's a lot of guys that helped me out. Joe Andruzzi, he was huge for me, you know, in helping me out. And it was just it's great to have all those people help me out. And if I can, you know, return the favor to John or to last year Jermail, whatever I can do to help him, ask me any question, I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you have a question, I'll try to answer
it. Is there anything that you can do to maybe help him apply some of the stuff that he learned that maybe no one else could, you know, that anyone else couldn't really maybe use as much, that you can tell him, you know, you can use apply this from wrestling or apply that from wrestling, and it'll work out here?
Possibly. I think the biggest thing for me is when things don't go how they're supposed to go, I can recover a little bit because I'm used to hand fighting and wrestling and getting off balance. And so that's kind of stuff that you don't teach. Don't do the right thing so you can get in this. You know, it's kind of just in case something bad happens, that's when you have to use some of that experience.
How tough a transition is it to go from wrestler to an offensive guard or offensive lineman?
I think the toughest thing is the language. It's a whole different language. You know, you're making these calls and it's like, now I know what the calls mean, but back then, okay, he said this. Does that mean that? Or you think for that split second and the play's over and you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So learning the language and then learning your assignment and then learning what all the other people around you are doing, that's huge too. And that took me probably 2 to 3 years, maybe 3 to 4, to figure all that stuff out.
Wrestling, you're just going, reacting.
There's two people out there, not 22. Yeah. So that's a huge difference. People are flying everywhere, and it's a big difference.
And thinking back to those days when you were just starting out and didn't know that language at all, is it hard to fathom that 10 years later, you know, it's almost 10 years that you've been going at this and doing pretty well? Do you sit back and think about that, think about how far you've come?
No, I think about how far we can keep going. I talked to Teddy Bruschi yesterday. He's helping out signing some autograph stuff, and it's funny. At some point when I'm done, I can look back and reflect. But right now I'm here in the moment moving forward, and I think if you look back, you kind of slow down. So I'm just going to try to keep focusing on day-to-day, you know, get everything, get better each day, and then go see where that takes you. And then at some point when you're done, take a deep breath, look back, and enjoy it.
All right. Do you think this offense can be better in 2010 than 2009?
I don't know. We'll see. We haven't done anything yet together. So, we're working out. We're working hard. We'll just see what happens.
How's your training changed now that you're here versus what you were doing back in California?
Well, there's a lot more people out there. My wife, she's in the backyard, you know, timing me and doing. It's pretty funny. My little guy, Gunner, he's sitting there running around, jumping in front of me. So it's great to be around all the guys and the coaching staff, and it's great to be back here, and I'm enjoying it.
Nesson.com is doing a bracket-style challenge for Boston's biggest sports legend, and my boss is making me ask this question. Have you gotten a sense of the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have advanced into the next round? Have you gotten a sense of the heightened celebrity that they've gained in this town over the last decade?
Oh, yeah. I was here in 2001 when Tom was – I remember – I remember a lot because that was my first year coming in. I didn't know what was going on, and they were talking about Drew Bledsoe's our guy, Damon Heward, he's our backup, and it's either going to be Tom Brady or Michael Bishop for that third quarterback. And I don't know if you guys remember at the time. So I'm sitting there, and I didn't know anything about football, and the only guys I could block for were Tom Brady and Michael Bishop. And I wasn't allowed on the field when the other two guys were out there. And so it's funny how things have changed, but Tom has treated me the same ever since that day. And he deserves everything he's gotten. Coach Belichick deserves everything he's got, too. He's one of the hardest-working coaches I've ever been around. And I'll walk through the wall if he asks me to.
Were you like, man, that Michael Bishop guy is talented?
Man, he's fast. I just couldn't understand every word. I didn't know what they were saying anyways, and then it was hard. Yeah, it was – like I said, he's a very talented human being.
All right.
So,
all right.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right.